from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in and for being so good, you know, for being so appreciative of the show and following the show. It means so much to me that you're a part of this. And, you know, as you know, this show airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. But this past week, I took a little bit of a break, and it was much needed and much appreciated. I celebrated my second year anniversary of being married to my beautiful and wonderful and funny and kind and smart wife. And I want to thank Kate for a great time. And I also want to thank my best friend Evan for everything that he did and being a part of our celebration and going with us to South Carolina and everything that we got to do hanging out in Florida. So I want to thank my buddy Evan for that. But yeah, you know, I was off for a week, and I still kept in touch with you all. I mean, those of you that follow me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter @CallDT, that's CallDT. You all saw my posts and reminders of interviews that you really needed to go and listen to that are timeless. A lot of the work that I do is timeless, so you want to make sure that you connect with it and go see it and check it out, listen to it, read it, watch it. I put out some information on Malachi Richardson that, as far as I know, nobody else had at the time. I found out that he was working out for the Orlando Magic while I was down in Orlando, and spoke with his agent, who said he's going to be working out with all the teams pretty much all the way through the lottery, picks 1 through 14, all the way to 15 and 16. So I was able to break that news to you and share that with you. You can read that article on WakeUpCallDT.com on the Right Now page. So right at the top of the page, WakeUpCallDT.com, go to the Right Now page. You can check it out. You can also find it on the homepage as well. So, you know, I was able to connect with you. I was able to talk with you while I was on vacation. But now I am back to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. I want to thank the listeners that jumped right back into it. You're amazing. You are absolutely wonderful. I cannot thank you enough for your support. And, you know, today's show, I come to you with a heavy heart. And it's because anybody that knows me knows that I'm against hate, you know, and you'd be like, well, Dan, most people are against hate. Well, yeah, you want to think that way, but you see it, you know. I have a lot of good people in my life. I don't have any bad people in my life because I take that out. You know, if somebody is negative, then they're not a part of my life. I don't care if you're family. If you're not a nice person, if you're not supportive, if you're hateful, if you're stressful, then I keep my distance from those people. Well, in the world that we live in today with social media, you've heard me come out and speak about this in the past, that this world doesn't need hate. We've seen hate. We've seen Hitler. We've seen Benito Mussolini. We've seen Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un, and we have seen plenty of wars, the Civil War, the Persian Gulf War, our war for independence, the Iran-Iraq War, Jerusalem and Palestine fighting forever and a day. We've seen this. For goodness sakes, we killed the perfect man, in my opinion, in Jesus. We killed God in human form. For what reason, it is still beyond me. So we live in a world where there has been hate. There's been hate through time. But now with technology and the fact that we can get out to each other all the time, hate seems to have friends. Somebody hates you, and then somebody else jumps on it, right? And I've experienced hate. I'm a good person. I know that I'm a good person. I don't say that in cockiness. I say it in confidence. I'm a good person. I'm nice to people. I open doors. I say please and thank you. I ask how people are doing. I don't have hate in my heart. You know, I treat everybody equally. I don't judge. When somebody says something really mean to me on social media, I don't respond. I don't want to feed hate. But it's sad. You know, it's very, very sad in the world that we live in today. And as you know, for those of you that listen to my show, and for those of you that are listening for the first time, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and my entire company of Dan Tortora Broadcast Media is dedicated. We are dedicated to the quote, where sports meets life. So on today's show, I'm going to pause. We're going to pause together. Because this show has never been about stats. This show has never been about things that you could go on and just read somewhere. This show has always been about being original, having humility, comedy, sincerity, solidarity, faith, hope, God, love, joy, positivity. And in that respect, today's show is dedicated to my second home, the city of Orlando. Why is it my second home? Well, my parents are great, great people in how they raised me. And every single year, around April time or Easter time, because, you know, Easter bounces around, my parents would take me to Walt Disney World. And they continued that tradition into my 20s and into college, and even past that. My mom, the first time I ever went to Florida, I asked my mom when that was. She said, you were in my womb. She said, I was pregnant with you and I went to Florida. And my parents, for every year of my life that I can remember, pretty much, maybe outside of 1 year growing up, we went to Walt Disney World. We went down to Orlando. I have family in Orlando. My mom's family is down in Orlando. My cousins, and they're all cousins, but I call them uncle and aunt and whatnot. So to Joe and Mary and Jeannie and Carol and Stacia and my entire family, we love you and I appreciate the goodness that you brought to our lives. Orlando, over time, you know, Disney became a home for me. Disney became a safe haven. You know, I was bullied in high school. So, you know, not terribly, but no bullying is fun. And Disney was my getaway. Disney was my safe haven. Disney was my home. Then I grew up, went to college, and in my junior year, the summer coming out of my junior year, going into my senior year, I went down to the Walt Disney World College program. And right after helping with Katrina relief in May 2006, 8 months after Katrina hit New Orleans, I came home for about a day and a half, and then I went down to Disney for 3 months. And being in Orlando, I met a friend of mine, someone who became a friend of mine, Rudy, who's my coordinator. And in meeting Rudy, I also, you know, met Jackie, who was my trainer, an extremely positive person that I actually bumped into on my vacation with my wife this time around, which was absolutely amazing and truly a gift from God. It's a God incident. I don't believe in any coincidences. Jackie's amazing. So I love you, Jackie. I know you know that. So I work down in Florida. My family's down in Florida, you know, a lot of my family. And then I decided to leave Syracuse, broadcasting on ESPN Radio. I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania in 2008. And then I came to Syracuse at a part of 2009. I came back home, and then I decided to, I fought for months and months and months to get an opportunity on ESPN in Orlando, and I got it. And I went down to what was ESPN 1080, the team at the time. And I went down to Orlando in 2009. And until for a couple of years, I lived in Florida. And that's how I met my best friend, Evan. That's how I reconnected even more so with Rudy, who I had been going down to visit every year. But Orlando had really started to become my second home because I kept going back down to visit. And I kept going back down to work at Disney. And I knew I had family there. And then I started living there. And my day-to-day was Orlando. And I started covering the Jacksonville Jaguars and covering the Orlando Magic and covering NBA Summer League. So I'm covering the Tampa Bay Rays and covering the Miami Dolphins a little bit and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Florida, that I always thought was my safe haven, started to become a second home to me, you know, and I've lived in three places, and I've professionally been on the radio in three places, and that's Scranton, Pennsylvania, Orlando, Florida, and Syracuse, New York. So I consider them all homes, and they're all different. So Scranton is different from Syracuse, and Syracuse is different from Orlando, and in some ways they're the same. And so I had an opportunity to, you know, obviously live in Orlando and work in Orlando and be around Orlando. And I go back every year, multiple times. I cover NBA Summer League every year, thanks to the Orlando Magic organization. I can't thank them enough for that. So I'm going back down in July, and this is my fourth NBA Summer League in a row. It's my fifth overall that I've covered with the Orlando Magic. And I'm ecstatic and I'm elated. I'm very happy. You know, my friends say to me, they're like, your job is to sit and watch basketball all day. And they feed you and you interview players and coaches. And I was like, yeah, that's my job. You know, and I appreciate that. And I've worked my butt off for that. My reputation, my respect, my appreciation, my hard work, it's all gone into this. So I go down to Orlando every July, and I'm in the city. I'm right there at the Amway Center. And, you know, to wake up yesterday with my wife, and I surprised her, and we stayed at the Grand Floridian, you know, to wake up yesterday and be like, oh, okay, a shooting in Orlando. I'm like, oh, well, that's that girl from The Voice, and that's terrible, and that's sad, and it's sad. But that wasn't the shooting. That wasn't the one they were referring to yesterday. Yesterday, you know, waking up on Sunday, June 12th, Orlando was attacked, but it wasn't Orlando that was attacked, it was humanity. It was all of us. And I know people that are against people being gay, that don't think it's a choice, that think it is a choice and it's not genetic. You know, I've been around people that hate gay people and make fun of gay people and love gay people and appreciate gay people, people who are gay, people who aren't, people who have friends that are, people who don't understand their friends that are. And I'm not here to tell you what to do ever on this show. That is not my job. It is not my preference. It is not who I am. I am here to say to you today that we're going to pause. Because on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life, that quote, where sports meets life, that was my way of telling you a long, long time ago that I will utilize sports to talk about life. And when life happens, which it does every day, then I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. It's my show. But I'm going to do it with the respect, the solidarity, the appreciation, the concern, and the care of all individuals. This past Sunday, June 12th, there wasn't a care and concern for all individuals at Pulse Nightclub. Now, there are people that go to Pulse that aren't gay. It was Latin night at Pulse. Did you know that? Did you know that it was Latin night? Did you know that there were people that were going there to learn how to salsa? There were straight men and straight women, gay men, gay women, bisexual men and women, transgender. There were many people at Pulse. There were people that went there just to get away for the night. There were people that went there to dance. There were people that went there with their girlfriends and their boyfriends. There were people that were gay and straight that went there. There were people that went out in support of their friends that are gay. There were people that went out there, you know, women that could have very well gone out there to a gay nightclub to be left alone from men trying to grind on them and dance on them and bother them, because that happens. So, let's just say we were all there at Pulse, right? We were all there in some way, shape, or form. If you're gay or you're straight, bisexual, transgender, man or woman, you like to dance or you hate dancing. All those people were there. Everybody was there. Humanity was there. And humanity was attacked. Now, I know people want to, you know, talk about religion, but there are people in the Muslim religion that are peaceful. There are people in the Catholic religion that are peaceful. There are people in the Jewish religion that are peaceful. There are people in the Buddhist religion that are peaceful, in the Hindu religion that are peaceful. For goodness sakes, there's friggin' atheists that are peaceful. There's agnostics that are peaceful. I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it, but I am here to say to you that if we're killing each other, that's wrong. Now, I've never had a racist, prejudiced, sexist bone in my body. I wasn't built that way. Now, I believe I've always been that way because of God, that God has always helped me to understand. But I've also been surrounded by family and friends who do not judge. They do not condemn. They do not hate. And today I'm going to be joined by a lot of special guests during this show. And my special guests that are going to be joining me today are going to be talking to me about the state of Florida, coming from there, living there now, calling it home, people that are connected to Orlando, and people that have come out, people that are unafraid to say that they are gay. Because you shouldn't be afraid. You know, I said a long time ago, and I echoed those words this weekend. I said, why would somebody choose to be gay? Why would somebody choose to be black? When you look at the hate that has come for people that are black, for people that are Hispanic, for people that are gay, for people that are transgender, for people that are bisexual, when you see the amount of hate that has happened, why would somebody choose that? Now, I'm Italian and Hispanic. A lot of people don't know that I'm Hispanic, but I am. You know, a lot of people just thought I was Italian. You know, there's a lot of Italians in Central New York that came over to Ellis Island. But I'm Italian and Hispanic. There is a chance that I do have African blood. We are actually looking back on the timeline in a connection to Egypt to see if there is something there. And I'm very excited about finding out exactly what my heritage is, but I've grown up knowing that I'm Italian and Hispanic. Now, the KKK, which is domestic terrorism, no matter what anybody says, it's not an organized group. They're not a book club. When I look at my history, the history of my heritage, Italians were threatened and attacked and discriminated against by the KKK. Hispanics are attacked and discriminated against by groups like the KKK. There's parts of northeastern Pennsylvania that were very anti-Hispanic while I was living there. And I was openly offended by it. openly offended by living in an apartment where I had a landlord that put up a sign in support of someone who's anti-Hispanic on my front lawn. And I know I was paying to be there, and I know it was technically their house, but I was paying rent to be in that house. And I said, listen, I'm paying rent to be here. This is your house, but your views are not mine. Do not put them on my front lawn, because when my friends come over and they see, oh, there's a person that is anti-Hispanic and you're Hispanic, Dan, how does that make sense? Well, it doesn't. And I'm not for any type of hate or any type of discrimination. So, you know, when I look at this world and I look at discrimination, you know, Italians were not welcomed in the beginning. Hispanics were not welcomed in and are not welcomed in at times. And building a wall between us and Mexico is asinine. The drugs come through the tunnels. If you want to stop drug trafficking, if you want to stop that, human trafficking, drug trafficking, I understand that. But if you want to prevent people from Mexico of coming into this country, people that are good people, that are hardworking people, I'm not saying to let a criminal in. I'm saying to let somebody in that is a good person. And there is a very easy way of finding that out. You can go and check records of people. If you're just letting people into this country willy-nilly, not doing any research on them, it's your own damn fault if there's an issue. We need to do a better job at knowing who is coming in and out of this country, going in and out of our nightclubs, going in and out of Walt Disney World, in and out of Destiny USA, in and out of the Mall of America, in and out of an Oakland Raiders game, in and out of a Dallas Cowboys game, in and out of a New York Yankees game. We need to do a better job of that. We became lackadaisical as a society as far as those that are supposed to protect us. Now, I don't know the FBI, and I don't know the CIA, and I don't know every single in and out of what they do and don't do. But what I do know is that we're missing a lot of checks here. We're missing a lot of checkpoints. We're missing a lot of things. That this gunman that was involved in Orlando was somebody who beat his wife. Somebody who was a part of domestic violence. Now, I understand if things aren't reported, if she never said anything because she was afraid, and you look at her now and you're like, okay, well, this guy affected the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people and killed at least 50 and injured at least 53. So you can understand why she would be a little bit concerned about her well-being if she said anything about this guy. But the checks and balances that we have to get better. And we have to stop the hate as a society. You know, I put out a message yesterday. I'm going to read the message that I put out yesterday because I want to give you my exact words and what I was saying. And the words that I said were as follows. When I was talking yesterday about the incidents and everything that had gone on, I said, my wife and I were celebrating our anniversary in Walt Disney World. We weren't at the site of this tragedy, speaking of Pulse Nightclub. Thank God. My heart bleeds for all that were. And it does. It saddens me to know there is hate in this world. I'm going to read that again because we forget this. It saddens me to know there is hate in this world. Think twice and then don't do it when it comes to whether or not you hit send with a hateful message on social media, text, or if you're talking to someone face to face. We are better than this. We are better than this. Let's show God that we love and value one another. Love. Love. A word that gets thrown around way too much without the right backing. Let us show God that we love and value one another. I'm not giving up on this world, but we need to do better. We need to do better. We need to do better. Because I'm not going to accept it. I am not accepting this world for what it is. I'm not. I will not accept this world for what it is. I will not accept a world where my wife says to me, now I'm a moviegoer. I'm a huge, huge movie fan. Anybody listen to my show, you know that. Besides Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, I do a show Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora, and we talk about movies all the time. And you can catch that on largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile. That's largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile. I'm a huge movie fan. But you know what my wife says to me this past year? She says, "Babe, I don't know if we should go to the midnight showing of the movie. Let's go during the day on a Sunday because I'm afraid." I said, "Why are you afraid?" She said, "Well, with these theater shootings and whatnot, you don't know what people are capable of. You're in the dark. You can't see." I never thought that I would live in a world, live in a country, a free country, where my wife would tell me that she didn't feel safe going to the movie theater. And then when I go see late showings, she says, you know, "Call me, text me, let me know that you're okay. Even if I'm asleep when the movie gets out, send me a message, let me know that you're coming home. I just want to know that you're okay." That to me is like Jerusalem. That to me is Palestine. That to me is Israel. When you are afraid of someone blowing themselves up or shooting up a movie theater, that is not America to me. That is not America. That is not the definition of America. That is not who we are. It's not what Palestine and Israel should be, but that is not us. People offing themselves and strangers, that isn't our world. Remember the Oklahoma City bombing? And we come together as a nation and we look at this and we say, how did this happen on our own soil, right? How did this happen? But it's few and far between. How did somebody that was an American do this to us? Not somebody from another country who's jealous, angry, hateful. Not the Twin Towers. Not the Pentagon. Not a field in Pennsylvania. When people that hated and loathed this country came into this country and did bad things. But how much domestic terrorism, domestic, big moments, they were few and far between. Few and far between. And they said during the presidency of Barack Obama, there has been 15. 15. I don't remember there being 15 in 15 years. 15. 15 incidents. In the last 8 years of the United States, 15. 15. I live in a land of the free, home of the brave, not in a land of the oppressed, home of the scared. That isn't us. That was never supposed to be us. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? The hate. Think about this. Because people are asinine and stupid to think that this is okay. You send a hateful message to me. I mean, you can go stick it where the sun don't shine. I mean, that's how my grandmother told me a long time ago. Somebody doesn't respect you for being a good, hardworking person, the person that we know that you are, piss on them. Piss on them. That was her nice way of saying, you know, see you later, buddy. When I see hate, I don't respect you. I don't like you. I don't think you're funny. I think you're adding to this. I think you're adding to these shootings. I think you're adding to these bombings. I think you're adding to this hate. You're adding to it. You're adding to it. To the people that have attacked me, you are adding to this hate. Adding to it. I'm never going to respond to you because you're an idiot. You are an idiot. You're not maybe an idiot. You're not like an idiot. You are an idiot. And I'll tell you to your face you're an idiot. Because you are. Because you're telling this world, you're showing kids, you are sharing with people that good, hardworking, honest people, when you spread your hate toward me, toward other good, hardworking, honest people, you're telling this world that you don't care what you do or how you do it. I'm going to hate you. I'm going to try and put you down. I'm going to disrespect you. I'm going to loathe you. You can't do that. You can't do that. And the only thing that I can think to do when I am face to face with an idiot is pray for them. Pray for them. But when you go online and you spread hate, you are telling people, like the person that shot up Pulse Nightclub, you are telling them that it is okay. You are telling them that it is fun, that it is great, that it is wonderful, that we need to cleanse the earth. If you're saying words like faggot and homo and all these things online, you're telling the person that shot up Pulse Nightclub that he has fans, he has supporters, he has people that he's doing this for. And it doesn't have to be ISIS, and it doesn't have to be extremist, radical Islam. It can just be somebody who said hateful things against gay people. When you spread hate from person to person or group to group, you are spreading the evil that caused Pulse Nightclub shooting, that caused the shootings in movie theaters, that caused issues in this country that we have not had come to a head like this. We are a country of love, appreciation, respect, and welcoming. We are not a country of fear, terror, hate, disrespect. I woke up Sunday, June 12th. I woke up. What do I mean? I mean that I saw that the things that I was focusing on, when someone that's a fellow broadcaster or someone who calls themselves a quote-unquote professional, because you're not professional if you're spreading hate, and you're not professional if you're attacking another human being for doing their job, but I woke up and I said, I've been focusing on random strangers that hate me, on random strangers in the broadcasting world, on random strangers that are fan of sports, on random strangers that are on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm focusing on this hate, but these people don't know me. People worked right next to me. They don't know me. People that were on the same station as me, people that are in the same city as me, people that are in the same country as me, that spread hate toward me, they don't know me, because if they knew me, they would know that I am the type of person that no matter who you are, if you're on the corner bleeding, I am there for you. I've been face to face with someone that openly treated me like garbage, openly derogatorily spoke about me, openly tried to put me down, openly tried to end my career, openly threatened to get in a fight with me. And when one of their family members passed away, I went over to them, I shook their hand, I said, if you need a friend or you need anybody to be there for you, I'm your guy. Someone who hated and hated and hated and hated and hated, how did I respond? With love. Was it hard to respond with love? You bet your booty it was. But I was like, what's the alternative? To hate like he does? To loathe like he does, to be jealous like he is, to be vengeful like he is, to be naive and ignorant and condescending and patronizing like he is? No. Because he taught me something. He taught me that not only was I Dan Tortora, but he taught me I will always be Dan Tortora. And getting attacked by other people in my profession has only taught me that I'm doing something right. And being gay out there, when you are attacked for who you are, you're not doing anything wrong. And it pains me, and it saddens me, and it breaks my heart. It bleeds. It bleeds my heart. When I have friends who are gay that tell me for the first time in their life they are afraid. 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 Not afraid to be made fun of. Not afraid to be afraid to go out in public. afraid that somebody who has hate in their heart might one day just open fire in a place that they happen to be eating lunch in. Afraid of that. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. My first guest will be up coming up here in just a moment. And we're going to be welcoming a good friend of mine, Ben, to the show. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Ben is coming up next on the phone line.
A live game day experience unlike anything you've ever seen is at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York, down the road from the Carrier Dome, and at the Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York, the former Ugly Duckling. You're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse for all Syracuse Orange football and men's basketball home games. And for the away games, you're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York. Wake Up Call Game Day Live. Whether it's a night out on the town, going out and grabbing a drink, or coming out and seeing the game, you're going to Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse and the Orange Crate Express at 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius. Pre-game with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and our special guests throughout the Syracuse Orange football and Syracuse Orange men's basketball seasons.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreissig Apparel, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreissigApparel.com. That's DreissIg Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal.
All the great flavors of Utica Pizza Company right at your doorstep. It's a Utica thing. Family-owned restaurant on wheels. For festivals, parties, receptions, and more, including lunch stops right by your office building, call It's a Utica Thing and have them come to your next event. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946. The flavors of Utica Pizza Company, authentic recipes right by you with an authentic menu. You choose the menu, you choose the place. Call now to reserve. It's a Utica Thing, the family-owned restaurant on wheels. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946.
What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors always in stock on FanHands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Real fans wear Fan Hands.
There's more than meets the eye at Utica Pizza Company on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York. Located in the Mains Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road, Utica Pizza Company is the proud home of homemade recipes that have withstood the test of time from generation to generation to reach your plate today. Dine in or get takeout by calling 315-214-3060. That's 315-214-3060 for takeout from Utica Pizza Company, which is now the proud home of the Wake Up Call special, Chicken Salt and Boca, available 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Go to Utica Pizza Company Monday through Sunday, open for you on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York, located in the Mains Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. We also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. DT. I want to thank everybody that's listening on wakeupcalldt.com. I want to say to everybody that's listening on wakeupcalldt.com, as well as mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, that however you're listening, make sure that you become a member of mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt so you can interact with me, you can chat with me live during the show, and so that I know who you are. You know, I know what's going on, and we can interact with one another, because if I've learned anything about this world, especially what we're talking about today, it's to not hide. So, you know, a lot of people hide on the internet. You know, the FIWs, the faceless internet weasels, the trolls, whatever you want to call them, people hide. But it's time for the positive people and people that are accepting and appreciative of all humanity. It's time for us to step out. It's time for us to make a stand, and not in hate, but to spread love. The only way to end hate is to spread love. It's not to answer hate with hate. It's not to get angry at hate. It's not to be vengeful at hate, but the only way to answer hate is with love. And with that statement and with that remark, I'm very happy to welcome on my first guest of today's show, which has been titled I Stand With Orlando, A Tribute in Solidarity and Faith, that is airing here on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. I Stand With Orlando, my second home. I'm very happy to bring onto the show for the first time a friend of mine and somebody who has always brought joy and sunshine to my life and to my wife's life. And before we even got married, to meet this guy and to be around him and see his happiness, his excitement, his joy for life. You know, he is somebody that, you know, you go into his store, and sometimes when I was just having, and I don't even know if I've ever told him this, but if I was just not having a great day, or somebody attacked me on social media, or people in my profession were trying to knock me out of my profession because they felt threatened or jealous or whatever it may be, I would go into the store just to see him, see his smiling face, and know that no matter who didn't appreciate me, that he did. And it is with great joy and great honor that I welcome Ben onto the show, because Ben is somebody that, you know, came out years ago and is, you know, open in this world to not be afraid of who he is and how he lives his life and never should be. And Ben is someone who I appreciate as a friend. I appreciate as somebody who has always brought joy to people's lives, and someone who really just has that Disney spirit. And anybody that's been to Disney knows what I'm talking about. Someone who just has a way of making anybody smile. So Ben, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Ben, first and foremost, you know, I want to go back in time to when you came out, to when you knew, you know, that you were gay and that you wanted to share that with your family and share that with your friends. And just going back to that time, because your mother was very, you know, open and accepting to that. And I've been surrounded by family that has been that way my whole life. So what was the experience like for you, and to just, you know, be comfortable in your own skin is kind of where I want to start.
I knew at a pretty young age that I was different, that I was gay, and, you know, I didn't necessarily understand it, or, you know, I was kind of afraid at the time to come out to, you know, mainly my whole family. And then as I got a little older and accepted myself for who I was before I told the world, I realized that my immediate family, my surrounding environment was actually a very safe and healthy one to come out in. I realized I was gay at the age of 13, actually. I was pretty young. And I didn't come out until I was 16. And I didn't go out and say those words to my mother, but it was a Sunday morning. We were driving to church, actually, and I let her know that I kind of lied to her about where I was after school one day. And I had told her it was, you know, some club or meeting or something, and I didn't tell her the truth right away. And then on the way to church, I admitted to her that the group that I had gone to was my high school's GSA group, the Gay Straight Alliance. And that was kind of all she needed to hear from me to understand what I was trying to tell her. And she was more than accepting, more than okay with me finally revealing it to her, because she had already known, you know, I came out at 16 and she jokingly told me she had already known for 15 years. You know, did not come as a shock to her, did not ruin her life in any way. My mother has been a cornerstone for me in my life and, you know, just wants to see me happy. And, you know, as long as I'm healthy, she doesn't care who I'm in a relationship with. So.
And Ben, you know, as you grew up, you know, like you and I had spoken about, you know, before going into today's show, that, you know, the words when somebody was making fun of someone in school, the word that some guys would use, you know, against somebody else, you know, I've said them on today's show, you know, words that I don't like, you know, just to mention them for what they are, you know, the word faggot or the word homo or something like that, words that really cut to me, you know, as a straight male in high school. It didn't matter, you know, gay, straight, to me, those words cut like a knife through my chest. Uh-huh. When I hear them today, they still cut in that respect. And there's no one that has said those words in front of me that I haven't stopped and said, you can have a conversation with me, but not with that terminology. And,
right.
You know, you and I grew up around a time where those were words being used frequently in school and high school and whatnot. But you had an experience where, you know, there's some kids that are learning about who they are today, and they're growing up and, you know, learning that they're gay or bisexual, or, you know, they're not really maybe opening up to who they are completely. But when you were growing up, you didn't witness a lot of bullying and go through that a lot. And I think that's important to share out there, because with social media and different things now, you know, people feel bullied and they feel pushed, but you didn't feel that way, nor did you experience a lot of that growing up, which I think is important to share.
Right. I didn't. Like I said, I felt like I grew up in a very safe neighborhood, a safe environment. Everyone around me was so accepting, and they probably already knew how I was before I did. You know, just by watching me grow up, you know, everyone around me knew, and I didn't experience it. I was never a target of any form of hate crime. I was never physically abused, or you know, there was a little bit of verbal abuse in high school that I didn't let get to me. But you know, it was more people's curiosity than anything else about my sexuality, about if I was. It was the bigger question. And then once I came out, everyone dropped the subject. They're like, oh, okay. Like, okay, who cares now? You know, they just felt like they needed to know. So it still blows my mind in this day and age how far we've come with this country, that there are people that are afraid to come out of the closet and to be who they are. And sometimes when I see that in my day-to-day life, where I see someone denying who they are because of that fear, I get angry. I get angry because I want them to be able, like, I know not everyone can have the experience I had and how easy it was for me, but I get angry in that way because I wish that they knew it was going to be okay once they did. And that's not going to be the end of the world. They're still going to have a life on the other side once the world knows about them.
And, you know, one of the things, speaking here with my friend Ben here on a special tribute to Orlando and a tribute in solidarity and faith to all people everywhere, not just in America, but around this globe and, you know, to life even outside of this planet, you know, that people should know that there is a God and there is something watching over us and there is better that we can strive for. Ben, you said you had struggled to find exactly the words you wanted to say. So John Burke had said something, and I'm going to share what you had put on your page And it says...
Yes. So, do you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do. So okay. It says, yeah, so many things... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please go ahead and share that. I didn't have it in front of me.
So it says, so many things I want to say right now in regards to the Orlando shootings, but it's not the right time. Let the dead be buried and families consoled before we begin our bickering back and forth on the various details surrounding this disgusting act of cowardice. In the meantime, you're in my thoughts, Orlando. Hold strong. What did you take away from this, Ben? I completely agree with let the dead be buried before people start talking about gun control and using victims and using this thing as saying, well, this is why people shouldn't be gay, or this is why you shouldn't have guns, or this is why, and you know, you see all sides of the coin of prejudice and disrespect and all these things that are to come of this, and that people, their prejudice and whatever feelings they have are going to come out and manifest themselves in arguments and different things, which only makes the situation worse. But
right.
To look at what John Burke said, where he said, you know, have respect for these people that died. Have respect for these people. Have respect for their families, their friends. Have respect for the fact that some people don't even know for sure where their family and friends are, if they were involved in what's going on right now, that you have hospitals on lockdown in Orlando. What were your big takeaways for this? And what can you say to the fact of letting the dead be buried and not use this moment as a platform for people to discuss gun control and gay versus straight and whatnot?
Well, like I said before today's interview to you, how my biggest feeling that I started having yesterday was actually a fear of just being myself, of being gay, and just... I was a little scared to even leave the house yesterday without looking over my shoulder. The biggest, I think what struck home with me with John Burke's words were not to start throwing hate towards one another. You know, I may be gay, but I happen to be leaning more towards the conservative side of that. You know, I'm not a liberal. I'm not anti-gun in any way, shape, or form. You know, and the biggest thing for me was to not start going right onto social media and throwing hate around on who's to blame or what's going on. You know, so I saw those words and it really, it struck me, and it was almost like those were the words I needed to hear so that I wouldn't do this, such a thing, because I have quite a few friends that are Hispanic or that are liberal or that aren't necessarily the fondest of the Second Amendment, but now feel like they might have to go out and get a gun to protect themselves. So I chose to post his words mainly because I didn't want to start offending any of my close friends, because I didn't want to start acting irrationally out of that fear that I was having, and say something I would regret.
Speaking here with my friend Ben here on a special tribute to Orlando, a tribute in solidarity and faith to all people everywhere, gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, religion, race, whatever it may be, you know, to come together as a community, to come together as God wanted us to. And you would think with technology, my ability to turn on my mic in my studio and talk to anybody anywhere in the world, that this would bring us together. But with technology, we have found our way to pull apart from each other in certain respects, and it needs to change and it needs to stop. And in coming together to have, you know, many guests that are joining me on today's show to speak about the importance of appreciating and respecting your neighbor and being always on the side of humanity and always on the side of love. And as Ben just said, to stop yourself, even in a moment of anger, to stop yourself from hate, to stop yourself from feeding the beast. And Ben, you know, you were, thank God, not directly involved with, you know, any loved ones at Pulse Nightclub, but you know that, you know, some people were. And what has that experience been like to speak to a friend who has coworkers that are in the hospital, or to know a friend or know of somebody that, you know, is kind of going through this madness, trying to figure out what's going on, even though you weren't directly affected or involved, you know, to still know that being gay, number one, being someone who's a resident of Orlando, number two, and then having people that you know, I mean, even though you weren't directly affected, you were still affected of what happened at Pulse Nightclub. And, you know, I feel like I'm affected because, again, I'm trying to, with today's show and whatnot, show that if you're a human being and you don't feel a pause and you don't feel your heart bleed a little for this, then you've lost your way. How do you see just knowing that some of the people that you know are going through this issue right now, and that, you know, you and I had talked about, you know, someone that you know having people that they know that were shot and killed or shot and in critical condition?
Well, it hurts, you know. When I woke up yesterday morning and I was, I looked at my phone and I saw how my friends and family were all concerned about my whereabouts the night before. And, you know, I didn't think that, yeah, it was in Orlando, but, you know, I didn't think, okay, it has yet personally affected me in any way. I'm like, you know, I'm far enough away from this that, you know, I'm not affected. And everyone that I knew had checked in as safe through Facebook's little app they were doing so that, you know, loved ones would know that they were safe. It's made me open my eyes to, once again, how fragile life is and how small this world truly is, that, of course, with such a tragedy, with so many deaths and so many in critical condition, you're going to know someone who knew someone who was directly affected by that. And that's as close as I've gotten so far with my cousin's husband working at the main, the Orlando Regional Medical Center, with taking in all of the victims that were still in critical condition, you know, and that he described it as being almost like a war zone triage. And a couple of other friends have been affected by either the deaths of their close friends and coworkers, whether it be Disney or Universal Studios down here in Orlando. And if their close friends and coworkers have not been added to the list of the dead, then they are in critical condition. You know, I was speaking with my cousin last night, with her husband in the hospital, working the hospital, and one of his comments was that one of the injured men that he was taking care of, it looked like he had gotten bitten by a shark because of how many bullet holes were in his arm. And it was just mass chaos, you know. And I think since I've talked to you since yesterday, I think another one of my friends has been affected directly with a death of a friend at Universal Studios, where they closed down the attraction that they worked yesterday in respect and in honor of that cast member, of that team member. So it's, you know, as time goes by, it's getting more and more closer to home with how we're all being affected.
Ben, before I let you go here, I know that you told me yesterday that, you know, growing up, like you said, you didn't go through a ton of hate of who you are and or anything like that. But you said for the first time in your life, yesterday when we were speaking, you said you were afraid to be gay for the first time in your life, and to go through, you know, to be down in Orlando, and, you know, like you said, be far enough away from it, and you're not someone who, you know, you, like you said to me, like, I don't like to dance, you know, I don't go out to clubs, I don't go out to bars, you know, and you know, you were home that night, but nevertheless, the fact that, you know, somebody who, you know, wakes up in the morning afraid to go outside, like you said, and, you know, what can we do as a community? What do you want to see? Where do you want things to go? Because I'm right here with you. I'm sitting here in my studio with tears in my eyes, Ben, and it's breaking my heart, and I'm trying to kind of hold back me breaking down here on the show. What can we do? What can happen from here? What will make you feel safe again? Because the fact that you don't feel safe makes me want to fly down to Orlando and, you know, put a bulletproof vest on and stand in front of you for the rest of my, I mean, that's just, I don't know how to do anything other than be there for people that you love and you care about. And
right.
You not feeling safe is unacceptable to me. So what can we do?
I want to see more support for the gay community. I want to see America come together again as a whole, as a country, because this isn't just happening in Orlando. The same type of, not massacre, but the same type of scenario almost happened in California within 24 hours of the shootings in Orlando. You know, it's happening all over this country, and I feel like we just need to come together. We need to wake up. We need to open our eyes to what's going on in today's world. And, you know, I'm not going to say we all need to go to war. I'm not going to advocate violence, but I'm not opposed to more people getting educated on feeling safe with arming themselves for their own protection and for the defense of others. I don't know where to start with that one. I would like to see our leaders, the man some people call our president right now, I would like to see him take more charge and not do what he thinks is going to get him the popularity vote. I think he needs to kind of, for lack of a better term, man up. I feel like he needs to just wake up to the dangers of what is really going on in this country.
That coming from Ben, a friend of mine and somebody who is living down in Orlando right now and doing great things and obviously bringing smiles to people's lives, and someone who I echo his sentiments and say that we need to wake up. We need to do more. There's a reason why the show is called Wake Up Call. And, you know, I think it's very fitting today in what we're talking about. So, Ben, as always, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here with me today, being a part of the show today. You know that I love you. That was the first thing that I sent out to you yesterday. You know, the love and the care and the concern are there, and I'll be back in a couple weeks to Orlando, and I owe you a meal at whatever place you want to go to, but if you pick Victoria and Albert, you got to let me know in advance so I can take out a loan. But but you know, I really thank you for sharing today, and I thank you for being...
Well, thank you, sir.
I really do thank you for being open and honest and just, you know, true to, not only true to yourself, but unafraid to tell the rest of us that, you know, as a country, we can do better. So, you know, I thank you for that. I thank you for your courage, and I thank you for, you know, the good person that you are. And I do hope that things get better, and I do hope that you feel safe, and I do hope that you know that no matter what, you have somebody in your corner.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time you've taken to have me on, and I love you too, and I can't wait to see you when you guys come down here
All right, man. Well, listen, I will talk to you soon. And in the meantime, God bless. And I know we'll keep in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Right, take care.
All right.
Once again, that was Ben, a friend of mine, someone who is open about who he is and should be. Should be. You know, I have these conversations with people now as, you know, do you like gay people? Do you not like gay people? Do you think it's okay? Do you not think it's okay? And I always look at somebody, I'm like, did they kill anyone? No. Did they rape anyone? No. Did they go into anyone's house and burglarize them? No. Okay. Did they threaten to blow themselves up in the middle of a square? No. Okay. Well, then I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you're a good person, I don't care. And I think that the conversations of are you for or against it, hopefully those conversations can stop now. Because the people that were killed and the people that are critically injured and the people that are hurting right now, they're children of somebody. Gay, straight, bisexual, transgender. They're someone's children. And if we don't treat this heinous, disgusting, awful, ignorant crime with the same tender love and care that we would treat anything, then we've lost our way. This isn't a gay, straight, this isn't a Islamic religion, other religion. This is a people were killed. At the heart of it all, people were killed. People were killed, innocent people, doing nothing. So I put this right there with 9/11. I put this right there with Oklahoma City. I put this right there with the movie theater shootings. I put this right there with the school shootings. They're all together. And we need to all be together if we ever want anything to get better. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. When we come back, our next guest, my cousin Joey, who is he lives down in Florida, and he has been in Florida for a very, very, very long time. So my family moved down to Florida, and, you know, Joey's always called Florida home. So Joey will be on the show in just a few minutes here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora to discuss with me what he thinks about what's going on in his home state.
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Dan! This bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun!
I know, why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to, we're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk, you can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? I was bouncing.
315-948-3100. 3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. It's just like we're doing right now. We're getting some air.
All right, Dan. I'm going to get more air, and then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do at Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at getairsyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or ice milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, Lady.com, with the Bamboo Line Relax Fit Clothing as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable. In Dreissig Lady Apparel, D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing, and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You got to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com as well as on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. If you have not become a member of the show, make sure that you do so. It's free. It's easy. It allows us to interact. You could chat with me during the show, and you could be a part of things. You could be a part of a show like today. So you could do that by going to mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. That's mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt and become a member. Today's show is called I Stand With Orlando, a tribute in solidarity and faith, airing on wakeupcalldt.com. So make sure that you connect yourself with the show and show your support for humanity everywhere and show that we are better. We are better than what happened on the early morning of Sunday, June 12th, as well as everything else that has happened. So I'm very happy to welcome on to the show for the first time here my cousin Joey. My cousin Joey calls Florida home. I was just down in Florida recently with Joe's father and his mom. And, you know, Joey has always meant a lot in my life. We saw each other when we were younger. We got back together here when he got married to his wife here in February, and I'm very happy to, you know, be connecting with him more. Family is very important, especially at this time. So, you know, to bring his thoughts and what he's taking away from everything that happened is my cousin Joey, who I'm very, very happy to have here on the show, and a lot of family on the show today, because, the whole motif and the whole theme is that we're all family. And what better way of showing that we're all family than having family and friends on the show? Joey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate and respect what you're doing, and definitely hits very, very close to home. You know, we're an hour and a half away here in St. Augustine, Florida. And, you know, in my line of work, I travel a lot, and we were just down in Orlando up to two days last week and doing business. You know, so it's a very, very sad tragedy, and like you were saying, you and I are a whole lot alike. We both wear our hearts on our sleeves, and we must be that blood in us, Italian blood, huh? But I'm saddened. I pray for the victims. Friends and family of the victims, you know what I mean? Just a horrible thing. Horrible thing.
And Joey, when you think about, you know, the fact that, you know, what has happened in Orlando, and you know, that some people will, and I had said early on in the show that a quote that we had taken was, you know, let the dead be buried before, you know, people start talking about this, that, and the other thing. To know that there's people that are going to look at this and be anti-gay or immediately jump on, you know, Muslims and the Islamic religion and whatnot, or jump on gun control and whatnot. How do you see it? Because, I mean, you have always been accepting of everybody from everything that I've known and everything that I've felt from you. I've always been the same way. I don't see gender. I don't see race. I don't see any of that stuff, because to me, you know, to have a prejudice, it doesn't matter. And you know, my name Daniel specifically means God is my judge, which to me means that I do not judge people, because God has the right to do that, and I do not have that right. So how do you look at this? The fact that some people will say, oh, it's just gay people, or oh, it was just a nightclub, or oh, or, you know, oh, it's because of guns. How do you respond to something like that, knowing that humanity was attacked on Sunday, June 12th, and some people might not see it that way?
Well, like you, exactly like you, Dan. I have an extremely open mind. I love everybody, whether their race, their religion. I try to find good in everybody. To talk about all of those topics, it saddens me deeply. I've always had a very open mind, I try not judge people, because that's not the way God intended it to be, and that's not the way that we were raised by our family. In reference to the gun control and the people that are wanting to talk openly about people were gay and if it were right or wrong, I mean, I think it's very important to just try to keep a positive outlook, because that's the way God, intended us to be, and to show as much love as we can, like you do so very well. When something like this happens, it's so surreal, especially when it hits so close to home. You don't think it's gonna, you see things on the news and you read about things, and I've been guilty living in my own little bubble sometimes when I need to open my eyes and pray for people that are in need of prayer. And I try, I also try not to be so angry, because it does anger me. It does anger me that there are people out there like that, that have hate toward people, just because of their race, just because of who they love and who they want to spend their life with. It angers me to a point where, you know, I have to stop myself and remember who I am. Because like you said earlier, you're just feeding into the people like that guy that shot up all those innocent people. You're feeding into exactly what he believes in and what he intended to do to harm and hurt and kill so many innocent lives. And it's really at times a very hard line to follow between not being angry and wanting to retaliate verbally to people with closed minds and people that I'm sorry, that are just plain ignorant, man, that don't see people for who they are and what they believe in.
Joey, when you look at, you know, your family and how you grew up and what life was about, you know, there's values and there's ideals and morals and whatnot. You and I have very similar ones. And I sat down with your father a few days ago with Uncle Joe. And I know he's my cousin Joe, technically, but I always call him Uncle Joe. And he said, I'll always be Uncle Joe. But, you know, when we sat down and we talked, you know, just the morals and the values. You and I grew up on a lot of things. What are some morals and values that you feel like maybe this country is losing or has lost that need to be the pillars and the foundation? What do you see when you see not only Orlando, but you see movie theater and school shootings and different things happening? What type of morals and values have we kind of lost the grasp of as America that we need to focus back on? Because I'm always in that fight every day with you of the morals and values that mean the world to me and that bar me from hate and, you know, make me love and care and have concern for everybody. What are some of those morals and values that you really honestly would like to see reinstalled into our society?
Well, the same morals and values that were instilled in us by our family, my uncle, your Uncle Joe, my father, but not only that, in God's eyes, you know, it's so hard for me to put into words, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, and I've experienced the same thing with my wife. She doesn't like to go to the movies late, because of those, you know, horrible shootings at a theater. I hear people talking about not wanting to bear children and bring children into a world that we live in now. And to hear that just absolutely breaks my heart to think that's a reason in many people's minds to not have children and to bring children into their lives and into this world because of the type of world that we live in. I feel like our values are to stand up for what we believe in, to love one another and to treat one another as equals. And unfortunately, that's a part of society that is still lacking. What blows my mind is that as many hurdles that our country and as a society have overcome over these many years, in reference to religion and race and gay rights, that something like this could still happen. It shows that, you know, the morals that we were raised by, aren't as prevalent as we thought there were, you know, and, you know, sometimes someone that has an open mind like you and I, you start to feel a little defeated because it just seems like every time you turn on the news, it's just one horrible thing after another. But, you know, I think that if we keep working and building a positive platform, which I admire you for, to be able to speak on the air to thousands of people, you know, all over the world, about your thoughts, not only on the sports but of real life, you know, real life events, I think is I really admire you for that, and I want to commend you for that. I wish I had a voice like that, you know. But to answer your question, I just our society is still, and as far as we have come, in reference to the diversity and ever being open-minded to a lot of different things, and including some things I don't agree with, that we still have hateful people out there that want to kill somebody because they're gay, and that is just it is sad, and those people obviously weren't raised with the morals that you and I were raised with, and if something like this happens, I guess I'm at a loss for words, because I can't think, how someone could and be investigated, whatever, by the FBI, not to talk about it too much, but to seem like a normal person from people from the outside, and then turn and do something like this, who seem to be raised, according to friends and family, with, he wasn't completely radical. And that is scary. That is very scary. You got people that you can outwardly see that are not of moral beliefs. Then there's people that look like they have moral beliefs, and then they go off and do something like this. But you just say, I got to keep the faith, cousin. That's all.
Absolutely, and I cannot agree with you more. That you got to keep the faith, and the solidarity and the faith of what this show is about and what we're trying to do, and everything that going forward, the meaningfulness of life is what the focus is on. And Joey, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you taking some time. I appreciate you talking with me. I appreciate the support, and I will be back down in your home, in my second home of the state of Florida in just a couple weeks, and hopefully things will get better and better, and hopefully our leaders in this country will care more and more and do more and more for that city and for that state and for the message that hate tried to send, that we can send a message of love that is more powerful, and that you and I will be together soon to, sit and hang out and talk and continue to try and make this world a better place, and believe that we can do so. I'm never going to give up hope in this world, but we do have to do better. And I appreciate you and being part of my family and being somebody who wants to do better.
Hey, no problem, man. I appreciate you too. And just one thing I forgot to add. I actually just got a text message from my wife, a friend of hers, brother, was in that nightclub, and was shot. He is in the hospital. He is he's recovering. It's not it's not life threatening. He's stable as far as we know. But just please pray for him and her family.
Absolutely. So to everybody listening in, to make sure that you say a prayer for, you know, Ben first came on the show discussing the people that, you know, were mutilated and, you know, that it looked like they were in some type of a war for people that are in critical condition, for people that have passed away, and for, you know, what Joey just said about people that are currently, you know, going to be okay in stable condition, were affected, obviously, by the nightclub shooting at Pulse in Orlando, Florida. And prayers to everyone that was there, prayers to all the people that are hating out there, that their hearts can be turned back to love, and to the family and friends of those affected as well, and to us as humanity to not be afraid to walk outside and live our lives. So Joey, we'll definitely send those prayers forward. Thank you for sharing that. Please give our best to the family, and I'll talk with you soon, okay?
That sounds great. Love you, cousin. Thank you very much.
I love you too. Take care.
Bye.
So once again, my cousin Joey, a native of Florida. So my family, my mom's side of the family, a lot of them moved down to Florida. And Joey has been down there and living his life. And like he said, you know, it's an hour and a half away from my home. And he felt it. And, you know, Stacia, his wife, felt it. So I'm going to take a moment of silence right now before we take our next break. And this moment of silence is for the person that Joey just asked us to pray for that was shot at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. And to also say prayers for those that Ben mentioned, for those that passed away, for those in critical condition, for those in stable condition, for all the family, all the loved ones, and everyone involved. I sent out a prayer in honor of them, and if you can share with me in this, to send out a prayer in this moment of silence. In God's name we pray. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, on wakeupcalldt.com, and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Coming up next is my aunt, Ev, will join us next. Ev, someone who came out years ago in her community of family and friends. My aunt Ev, who is very, you know, she has the knowledge and has the wisdom and the kindness of appreciating all people, and who taught me to do so, and who taught me to respect and appreciate human life. My aunt Ev will be joining me next, and I'm very much looking forward to having her on the show. So she'll be coming up next, as well as more special guests in a tribute in solidarity and faith to the city of Orlando, to people who are gay, straight, bisexual, and transgender, people everywhere, and to all religions, all races, all ethnicities, all backgrounds, all countries. May we come together, and may we stop having to see these tragedies in order to come together. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. May we be unified. May we be loving. May we be one. My Aunt Ev will be up next.
A positive training experience that improves speed of movement and strength in character, regardless of ability or economic status, is at Parisi Speed School. Call 315-635-5019. That's 315-635-5019. Mention Dan Tortora to get a free evaluation and free first class at Parisi Speed School.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, as well as on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. If you have not become a member of the live feed, make sure you do so you can interact with me at all times. And by being a member of mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, you will never miss a live show. Every time I go live, it will let you know that Wake Up Call is live, and all you have to do is click on an email that's sent to you to listen to the show. So I will always be with you And you'll never miss an opportunity to hear special things like today, where it is a somber mood. It is a sad, sad time. However, we are spreading solidarity, faith, and positivity in today's show, which has been called, and I've dubbed, I Stand With Orlando, a tribute in solidarity and faith, airing on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. You heard from my friend Ben, as well as my cousin Joey. Ben, who is currently living in Orlando and has heard about, you know, the people that are going into the hospital and the very tough sights to see of people coming in. To my cousin Joey, whose wife is connected through, you know, a friend that he had said that he had mentioned that his wife is connected to somebody who had been shot, but they're going to be in stable condition and should be okay, and to send a prayer out to them. And now, you know, to welcome on my aunt Ev, who taught me growing up as a kid. And like I said, it was always in my blood. I've always been a believer in God. I've always had faith. I've always wanted to believe in positivity overcoming all, and love being well stronger than hate. And my Aunt Ev helped me see the world, you know, as someone who came out before I had even been born, and someone who's very comfortable in who they are, you know, to help me be around that world, to accept gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, anyone, any race, any backgrounds, anywhere that they've come from. My Aunt Ev has been a facilitator of me continuing to have an open mind in this world. And, you know, I've been raised by many, and I'm very happy that my Aunt Ev was around in my childhood to help me to see things and continue now. So first and foremost, to welcome her onto the show for the first time. Aunt Ev, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks, Dan. It's really nice to be here with you today.
And I appreciate you being here with me today as well. And I appreciate, you know, you taking some time. And Aunt Ev, to go back to your story, you know, when you came out, when you, you know, looked in the mirror and said, this is who I am, this is who I know I am, how was the experience for you? And when you look at your family, you know, was there acceptance, was there an appreciation of who you are? To kind of tell your story personally, what was it like for you to say, this is who I am?
Well, it was, in a word, it was pretty horrible. You know, I'm quite a bit older than you, and I came of age, you might say, in the graduated high school in 71, if that gives you an idea. So that wasn't that long after Stonewall in New York City, which I guess you could mark as the beginning of gay liberation. So there was tremendous, you know, there's still a lot of hatred against gays today, but it was the norm, and it was an extreme hatred prior to that. So, you know, 10 years later or so, I was graduating high school. So I'll give you a little history, from personal history. I didn't date during high school, and my first relationship was after I left home and went to college. It was certainly something I would never tell my parents or family about, because it was so ingrained in the culture that this is not, I mean, it was just so shocking to myself. So I had this great love for this woman who I had met, and extreme shame and confusion. So it was almost impossible to overcome the feelings of love, though. So I was in a relationship away at school, but it was in complete hiding. No one except she and I knew about it. And what that leads to for people, and I live on the East Coast, and I have a feeling from what I've heard from other people that there are large swatches of the country that probably still are like it was for me in the 70s. I live in a progressive area now, and it feels much different. But there are many areas where I think this is still true. where people are forced to hide. And what's happened in Orlando is, you know, gives people pause and good reason to wonder whether they should hide. So at any rate, what I think that did was, for myself, the experience was that it created like a total split between my heart and my head. And, you know, because of all that I knew and what I'd grown up with in the culture, my head said, no, no way, this is not you, this is horrible, this is crazy. But my heart and feelings were totally there. This is absolutely right, and this is wonderful, and this is the way it should be. So, for reasons of its own, that relationship didn't last very long, having nothing to do with it being a gay relationship. But shortly thereafter, I had a second relationship. I fell in love with someone else, another woman. And this time, and by the way, I had said to myself that this was a fluke. This will never happen again, and it did. And I again was hiding, and I basically decided to back out of that. That I couldn't do this. This wasn't. I had to go with my head, which told me no. So I spent, Dan, you won't believe this, I spent the next 10 years of my life, the next decade, all through my 20s, trying to be straight. Can you imagine? It was, you know, trying to date men, trying to, you know, develop relationships. And it never worked. I never had there was never a sexual attraction strong enough. And, you know, so I worked on that very hard for about a decade. Kind of, I always consider it kind of wasting a decade in a way, because I could have, you know, could have met someone, could have begun a family, all those kinds of things. So finally, I had a third relationship. I fell in love again, and I was about 30 years old, and I said to myself, wisely, I can't fight this, and it's time to work on my head instead of trying to work on my heart. So I decided, even though I didn't like the idea, I would go with this relationship. And I went into therapy to work instead on trying to be straight, to work on accepting being gay. So that took quite a while, and I was in therapy groups. I was in individual therapy. You know, I didn't spend all my time doing that. I had the rest of my life going as well, you know. But I worked hard at it, and it didn't matter. I was in this relationship. Life was going on, but I still had this little bit of self hatred. And that didn't change until, this is an interesting thing. I'm sure this wouldn't be the case with everyone, but for me, I was working in a nursing home, and I had a patient who was a gay man. He was very, very effeminate, and, you know, intellectually, I did my therapy with him and did the work that I was doing, and that was fine, and I was professional. But inside, I knew I didn't really like him. He was too effeminate, too queer, too different, something about it. You know, it was obvious what it was about him. And I really didn't enjoy being with him at all. At the same time, I was aware of a study that came out. It was in the newspaper. We didn't have the internet back then. It was in the newspaper, and there was a study that showed that gay men's corpus callosum, which is the connective tissue between the right brain and the left brain, and that connective tissue, in anyone, male or female, what it does is it connects the two brain halves, and language takes place mostly on the right brain, whereas rational thinking happens on the left brain. And in women, it was well known that the corpus callosum, that connective tissue, is larger in proportion to brain mass in women than it is in men. That's just the way it is. They've got more of that connective tissue. And what that does, when they, as they started doing studies on the brain, it showed that there was more connectivity from the rational left brain over to the language center on the right brain. And that, this is typical. Women tend to be more verbal on a whole than men. Not all women, not all men, but on the whole. So it means that they're using their language center a lot more all the time. And so this new study, however, was a study of gay men. And they did a study of corpus callosum size, and they found that also in most gay men, or more gay men than straight men, the corpus callosum was larger, just like in women.
Yeah.
And when I heard that study, when I read that study, I was like floored. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You mean the reason there's a difference between gay men physiologically and straight men, and or being gay and straight? And I said to myself, wow, you mean maybe I'm maybe I was born this way? Maybe it's not my fault, my mother's fault, my father's fault, or a choice? So that was a huge change for me. And I turned my whole frame of reference turned on a dime. So all those years of trying to be straight, all those years of having therapy, trying to appreciate being gay, and this was all because of societal training, Dan. That's why I had to turn around all this shame. But at that point, it all turned on a dime. I went into work, I swear it was the next day after reading this article. It was within 2 weeks' time anyway. I saw that man who was really feminine. I had all these feelings of love toward him. It was life changing. And it allowed me to care for myself in a different way. You know, to feel self acceptance. So that, if that isn't a coming out story, I don't know what is. Because it was a real, it took me that many years. I was probably 36, 37. And you know, I haven't looked back since because I realize that's just who I am. And it's even though society taught me to be ashamed, there was no need to be. And by the way, you know, your cousins, my sons, they would not have been adopted had this not happened, I don't think, because prior to that, I knew that some gays were adopting children, and I thought, that's awful. That's just beyond the pale. There's no need for that. You know, they don't belong in that kind of, kids don't belong in that relationship. And it all changed. I all of a sudden realized that, you know, perhaps, you know, we had a living relationship. Perhaps we could, you know, do some good in the world and raise some children. And we, you know, that's what we did. We found children who would benefit by being adopted. And it's thank God for that. You know, and my whole feeling about that just totally changed. Like, this is fine.
Yeah, because. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, that, and it is, you know, like you said, your entire story and your journey, that you didn't just accept it, you didn't just wake up one day and say, this is who I am, that it took decades, it took time, that people that come out today and people that came out, you know, in the 70s or whatever it may be, it was a totally different world, it was a totally different time, and, you know, now people feel more accepted, but then something like this happens. When you look back at your history, Ann Ev, and you look back at everything that's gone on, you know, to you know, want to shoo it away and it's not real and oh, that can't be me. And like you said, you know, you felt shameful. You felt like, I can't be this. I'm going to force myself out of it. I'm going to go to therapy and talk myself out of this, to look at the world and to what happened in Orlando early morning of Sunday, June 12th, you know, now there are people that are gay that are scared. There are people that have children that are gay, that have friends that are gay, that have brothers and sisters that are gay, that are scared. And, you know, it almost seems like everything that you went through now, you know, when there was all that fear 30, 40 years ago, that, you know, here's fear again. What was your reaction to what happened in Orlando, and how can we make sure that we don't stay afraid this time around?
Yeah, and I of course I was horrified, like everyone, and I was almost relieved to hear that there was some ISIS connection. Sad as that is, I'm not really relieved, but it was sort of like, okay, let's take the focus off the gay part, you know. But you know, my feeling is that we have made such progress. There's so far to go also. But, you know, I think that we, in the United States, and it just humanity in the world, we're evolving in a really good place, where we're evolving to a place of greater acceptance of differences. Being attuned to God and to the oneness that we're all a part of. I truly believe this is happening in the world, and I think at the same time, even the fact that it's happening causes a backlash. You know, we've had so much greater acceptance toward homosexuality in the last, what, 5-6 years? It's been like a light years. And that's really fast for society to change. And so there's backlash, and I think this type of thing is the kind of backlash that can happen. And it doesn't mean we're still not progressing. I think we are. And I think it's important for people to realize that in context, that's part of why these things happen as they are. But that's all the more reason why you're taking the time to dedicate this show today to this. I mean, I can't tell you when you called and asked me to come on, I was, I think you texted me, I was like, oh my God, that made me feel so good inside that you were doing that, you know? And there's been such an outpouring of love down in Orlando, you know, that I read about and hear about, and all these, you know, people coming down to donate blood, and all these, you know, Trader Joe's coming to bring food for the blood donors, and all these other restaurants coming to help. Everybody's trying to find a way to you know, express their solidarity. And that's the solid side. That's the side of oneness and love that, you know, it brings it out even stronger with something like when the kickback like this happens. It brings out the base of that evolution even stronger. That's the what I feel about it.
You know, because it is, you know, I think it's funny, you know, Orlando has become a second home to me, and it was a place of safety for me growing up, because, you know, I'm a straight male. I wasn't, you know, being bullied for being gay or anything like some other people had been, but, you know, I was bullied for being a kind kid. I was bullied for being smart in school. I was bullied for not being on the basketball team at school and playing for CYO. I was bullied, you know, I was bullied for being who I am. I was, and that is the big message of today, is that, you know, gay, straight, black, white, from this country, not from this country, whatever it may be, the, you know, people are bullied and people are attacked, and there is hate everywhere. I mean, I'm bullied on social media by other people that are my age, younger, older than me in my profession. I'm bullied by people that don't believe that I'm good at what I do, don't think that I'm a broadcaster, don't think that I'm a writer, don't think I have any business having my own company, don't think that businesses should give, you know, should partner with me and should fund my movement and trying to make the world a better place. You know, I've received a lot of hate for only putting love into the world, and it's been a constant struggle in my brain. To, you know, when my heart says I want to love and I know I'm doing the right thing, and my head says I want to love and I know I'm doing the right thing, that I can still wake up and have people in my profession say, you know, hey, I have a show, you should listen to mine, and hate Dan Tortora. And I struggle with that, but, you know, I'm hearing from you today, Ann Ev, that, you know, we all struggle with something. We all struggle with some type of hate and some type of disrespect, but, you know, we have to work diligently at knowing in our brain and in our heart that if you are a good person and you're trying to do the right thing and you don't understand why you're being hated for being gay or hated for being black or hated for being white or hated for being straight or hated for being a broadcaster or hated for having your own company or hated for having a religion that people don't agree with, what I'm learning from this conversation with you is that not only are we all kind of hated in some way, shape, or form at times and loved at the same time, but that we have to know that if we're doing the right thing and if we're being our best selves, that we cannot in any way, shape, or form give up on who we are, nor can we allow the hate and the negativity to enter our brain or enter our heart and change us.
Yeah. You know, Dan, I'm really glad that you just, you know, expanded this into all kinds of hatred and prejudice that we all experience in our lives, and that people are bullied about in their lives for different reasons. And you're right. The only thing that you can do is continue to be an example and to continue being a loving person. And that's a way of change. That's a way of changing all of this. You know, back to the brain anatomy. This is a little different point, but on the maybe I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, when they first started doing brain PET scans, photoelectron tomography, they took some Buddhist monks and they connected the electrons, and they found a part in the right brain. It's not the same as the language center. It's a different spot. And they found that when they went into deep meditation and they felt this oneness with the universe, this particular part of the brain lights up in the right part of the brain. And there's another part that they've isolated on the left side, which separates self from other. Okay? It's a particular part of the brain. So when you are attacked by an animal or something, that part just lights right up because you have to protect yourself from the danger of that other. And you really have to keep yourself separate. And that part about oneness goes blank, you know. So there's a place for both of them, both parts. But I think, you know, how you said, I think the human race is evolving. I think there's a lot more people getting in touch with this universal love and that part of the right side of the brain, the part that says that we all are one, we all are a part of each other. And it's difficult, though, because we also have the other part of ourselves that separates out self from other. And you have to have that part, but you don't want to be in it all the time, because that part, I think, also nurtures fear and prejudice and hatred, and it's a fear of the other, the person who's different, the person who isn't, you know, living up to my standards, what I'm doing, or who's different from me that I don't understand. And the more we can tamp that down, and the more we can pick up that other side of oneness, the better. And I think a lot of people, whether they're going to church or mosque or synagogue, or reading philosophical things, or being in nature, whichever way they're doing it, or meditating, they're working on that right side of the brain, and they're working on that part of feeling one and expanding their love and trust in the world and in each other. And that's what's going to help all of us. That's what's going to decrease the bullying, increase our acceptance of other people.
Hey, and I think it also comes down to, you know, people, if, you know, I've realized that in my life, that when people come at me negatively, you know, that are either in the media world or are just fans of sports or whatever, that when they come at me, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I don't know a happy person that ever attacked another person. I don't know anybody that's comfortable in who they are that ever attacked another person. So my wife always tells me, she's like, if somebody attacks you, you know, she's like, you feel like, oh my God, they're trying to hurt me. Oh my God, what, you know, what if they're right? What if, you know, what if I am, you know, as some people, you know, feel as being gay or being black or being whatever, you know, in my sense, you know, you kind of stop and you're like, wow, if there's so much hate coming at me, you know, am I not good at what I do? Is there something wrong with what I do? Am I not? And my wife will always look at me and she'll say to me, you know, Kate will always look at me and say, she'll say, that person is not happy. That person is not living the life that they want to live, or something's bothering them. But for them to attack you, for them to attack a good man who works very hard and who is out there doing things for the right reasons, she's like, you know, you don't hate them back. You don't respond to them. You can pray for them, but there's really nothing else outside of that. You don't have to change who you are. And that's been my biggest battle in my life is, you know, to do your best every single day to be a good person and to still have a lot of hate come in your direction. And
yeah.
that's something that on, you know, on a daily, I try to, you know, live with, okay, why is there so much hate coming toward me? And then I see something, you know, what happened in Orlando. But, you know, I really do want to become better at it and want other people to become better at the fact that for some odd reason, even if you're doing everything right, there's a lot of hate that'll come in your direction.
Yes, because people, that self versus other thing is there. And it's there for a reason, but it's overblown in people who are unsure about themselves. They are fearful, and so they attack or whatever. They're defensive. But, yeah, you want to do your best to be the person you are despite that. And I think that because it's out there and because it is a part of human nature, even though I think we're evolving, then I think, you know, all we can do is be an example and also do what we can to surround ourselves with the supports, with the people that are supportive of us and that nurture us. And to make conscious choices to be around those people as much as we can, because that's what, you know, bolsters us to face the rest of it. And I think for gays and lesbians and transgenders, especially coming out now, you know, that's a challenge for them because there's still such a large part of the culture that is hateful still. You know, so it's even harder for them. But we're moving in the right direction. Also, for gays, one of the problems, if they're caught up in society right now and this kind of backlash and feel like they've got to hide, that is so damaging to have to hide who you are, your basic identity. Hiding steals your identity away from you. It may sound so simple, like, oh, well, it's just whether you're gay or straight. You can just, you know, you don't have to be out about that. You can go on and live your life and maybe just keep that to yourself. But it's not that simple. If you don't present yourself as being gay, and you are, it's not just that lie, but there's, which you might say doesn't matter, but it's all kinds of lies built on that big lie. I'll give you an example. When I was, I told you how it turned on a dime, remember?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was okay with being gay. Well, after that, you know, we adopted our kids, the first one, and I was still working at the same places I had been working at. I was consulting in different facilities, and I was not out, right? And you talk to people on a daily basis. How's this? How's that? Who's, you know, oh, you're going to visit your mom, oh, this. And I never let them know that I was in a relationship with a woman. So then I adopted a child, and as far as they knew, I was a single woman adopting this child.
Yeah.
And I was embarrassed to come out and tell them, no, that there's two parents here, because I had never told them I was in a relationship with a woman. And it would be like, well, why didn't you, you didn't tell us that? We didn't know that. And so now there's this lie. Now they believe I'm a single parent doing it all on my own. And wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know? And so there's just, it's lie upon lie. And it's, and it happens in small ways. You just can't talk about yourself. And so, you basically turn into being very untruthful, and it eats at you. It eats into your integrity and who you are. So I'm just making that point that going into hiding is a very, very painful thing. It's not as simple as not expressing your sexual identity or sexual orientation. It's much deeper than that. It affects you every single day and every interaction in a very, very negative way. But that being said, again, I hope that I hope that there's so much support and solidarity that isn't where gays go to now. I hope that they're feeling the solidarity and support to not go back into hiding.
Absolutely, and they will always get it from this show and from me and from everything that I'm trying to do, because you know, this world, like I said, you know, if you're out there doing bad things in this world, that's one thing. I still pray for those people. I pray for them to stop. And at the same time, you know, a good person being who they are, you know, it's, my mom always taught me, be who you are, be who you are, be who you are. And, you know, I am who I am today. And to a lot of people, they'd be like, well, you got it good. You're a straight white male. You know, that's like the easiest of it all in America. But it's, you know, when you're in the world of the media, you know, you are, you know, I realized very quickly that, you know, whether you're straight, whether you're black or white or whatever that may be, or male or female, that this world, you know, that hate and love will find you, and it's the choice of what you focus on. And you know, I will always be me, because I could not be me. I wouldn't even try it, because I know it wouldn't work. But I appreciate everything, you know, that you've done in my life, Anev, and the fact that you have always instilled in me to be me and trusted my decisions and trusted who I am and why I am, and you know, that has always meant the world to me, that no matter what this world tells me I should or shouldn't be, can or cannot do, that I can always come home to a family that has never once stopped believing in me. And I thank you for that.
Well, Dan, you're a great guy, and I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people. And I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk a little bit about all this today. And I think it's really wonderful what you're doing, giving this chance for people to talk and others to listen and hear this.
And I thank you for not being afraid.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. I love you very much, okay?
Okay, I love you too. Thanks, Dan.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. When we come back, my next guest will be with me. A good friend of mine, Brian, will be joining me next.
Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Ole Ole, talking about the freshest Mexican food you will find.
Every year as a family, we go to Mexico on vacation, and we love the cuisine. We love the freshness of the food. We can promise you freshly made food. Nothing comes in a package here. We got a bag of rice and a bag of beans, and the rest is all fresh vegetables and meats. We really wanted to represent Mexican cuisine and fresh food, where family and our young people or older people can go have a healthy, good meal. Well, we are located in the Matadale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors, my husband and I. So we're kind of a side entrance, and that's on Brewerton Road in Matadale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLE.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you have not become a member, please make sure that you do so by going to MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Members can chat with me live during the show, and you also have an opportunity to get emailed every single time the show goes live. You'll never miss a show again. All my members have an email sent to their phone. It says, Wake Up Call DT is live. Would you like to listen? You click yes, and you can listen from any of your devices. So make sure that you do that, and very much appreciate all the support. Today's show has been named, something I wanted to give for my second home. I Stand With Orlando, a tribute in solidarity and faith, airing here on WakeUpCallDT.com and MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. I want to thank my friends and family that have been on the show so far. Ben came onto the show, Joey, my Aunt Ev, and now a friend of mine, a business partner, and someone who truly has, helped me to see the good in others continuously, and whether he knows it or not, has always pushed me to be exactly the person that I am, despite any backlash, any negativity, or anything that stands against me. From the day that I met this guy, he's taught me that being Dan Tortora is pretty damn awesome. And, being who he is equally as amazing, and it's a true honor to be in touch and have found somebody in this world that I think was a sure God incidents, and that is my friend Brian, who joins us today. And Brian, first and foremost, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Man, I need to contract you to just do introductions for me from now on. I appreciate that very much.
Well, it's always good in life, whenever somebody hears the word blame, they think it's negative. Well, I use it in a positive way. So you're one of the people I blame for me being the person that I am. So I blame you for being so supportive of me that I continue to wake up and go on air. So it's your fault. It's all on you.
Well, guilty as charged, then, apparently. I appreciate that.
So
our friendship is one that really did kind of come out of nowhere. And, you're absolutely right when you say that there are no coincidences this world, and I think that was actually a Dan Tortoraism that I picked up from you last year, which is, God incidences, no coincidences. So, we have some fantastic conversations, and especially pertaining to the tragedy that happened this weekend. It's something that you and I consistently touch on. What can we do to be better? Not just as business partners, not just as potential opportunities with one another, but as people. And at the end of the day, it's about what we can do together. And I think right now, like you said, a show of solidarity is key. The one thing that I've learned about from living in Orlando is, you take away all the Mickey Mouse, all the tourism, it is a community that is, in fact, a community. People consistently coming together, and I witnessed that, firsthand in the couple of years that I was down there. And even now, you hear all the stories, emergency blood drives and people lining up for hours. It's truly unbelievable. So,
yeah, Orlando has been a home to you, and it's been a home to me, and anybody who, Orlando's been a home to, it's always a home. And, even going back down there this past week with my wife, it's like visiting an old relative. And I do have relatives and very close friends that are there. And it's a beautiful place. And Brian, I wanted to ask you, since, you are so outspoken and so open about, you know, not just around times like this, but on any day, to say, you know, to include everybody, appreciate everyone, treat people with respect. You always are calling upon our leaders in this country to care about every individual. And, you know, so to kind of go off of that point with what's happened in Orlando, but you in general, that when it comes to the gay community and bisexual, as well as black, white, brown, green, whatever it may be, you know, whether it's race, whether it's sex, whether it's sexual orientation, that prejudice has no place in your life. So, you know, that's meaningful to me every day, and, you know, including during these times of what happened in Orlando. So how do you look at Orlando first and foremost, and what can you share about the fact that solidarity is a daily ritual and not just a ritual after a tragedy?
Well, you know, from, you know, my own experiences, obviously, you know, you're aware of my military background, and, you know, being both, you know, fortunate and I guess, you know, one could look at it as unfortunate, to be deployed overseas and to kind of see everything from a firsthand perspective. There is no hate. You know, we kind of build this society based on fear. But at the end of the day, you know, being there firsthand, and again, this is not about religion, this is not about race, this is not about sexual orientation, gender, anything. It is simply a tragedy that is bred from hate and a, you know, a very distinct lack of empathy. You know, in this country, which is something that you and I consistently talk to each other about. But from my own experiences, you know, this could have been anything. This could have been, you know, we've seen it over the last couple of years. You know, this isn't a Newton. This isn't a San Bernardino. You know, it is an incident bred from blind hate. And the one thing that I can say about myself and the people that I surround myself with, you know, you included very much so, is not one person that I know operates on a level of blind hatred. You know, over the next couple of days, we're going to, even yesterday, you know, on social media, which is, you know, very much in my mind rubbing salt in the wound, and everyone turns it political and cries for gun control, and, you know, so-and-so is taking credit for this, ISIS, you know, Islamic extremists, it's irrelevant. This is a tragedy due to blind hatred, simple as that. It could be anything. You know, and watching people come together and not talking about what could have been, what should be, what we need to do. You know, I hear this constantly in the last 24 hours from you know, both friends and, you know, people on social media, coworkers. You know, well, this should have been done. This needs to be done. Why wasn't this done? You know, at the end of the day, a tragedy is a time to put all of that aside, and in my mind, and to really focus on, you know, as you said, solidarity. It's not about agendas. It's not about religion. It's not about sexual preference. It's not about anything else other than the fact that we look to each other and we use I and you. You know, I believe this. You believe that. You're different. She's this. He's that. It's we. You know, and we have to start thinking in terms of that as you know, both, you know, a country and, I would say, you know, the inner champion of world peace in me, mankind. But it's, you know, that's very cliche, but it's the truth. It's, you know, speaking in terms of we, there is no difference. There is absolutely no difference. You know, one of the things that you and I connect, and connected, I should say, on very, very quickly was our mutual love for all things comic book.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wonderful thing about comics is that there is a clear-cut villain, and there's always a clear-cut shining light of a hero or heroes. We don't live in a world like that. You know, we allow fear to rule, and you know, we talk about terrorism and what it's going to do, and we, you know, we've done this for 15 years. We've done this for 15 years since 9/11. You know, this is here in this country. What if this happens? It's irrelevant. You know, we try to instill this sense of fear and hatred and misunderstanding in people, and it's like I said, it's the byproduct of blind hate. You know, we are not in a comic; we are in reality. We don't have these wonderful, good-hearted, you know, true to their morals and, you know, love and sense of community and sense of, you know, protection and, you know, of these heroes. But why not?
Yeah.
What is so different? You know, you look at Orlando specifically, which is this, you know, wonderful place of fantasy and, you know, make-believe and all things that every person, no matter what age, race, sexual orientation, religion, can go down and enjoy. And then you take all of that away, and something like this happens, and you sit there and you ask yourself, why? In all places, why? And it's not about the time, it's not about the place. Could this have happened, you know, anywhere else in the world, anywhere else in this country? Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, bad things happen because of people. Simple as that. You know, what pushes somebody to do this is, in my mind, the question that needs to be asked, the conversation that needs to be had. You know, and it's really hard for me to analyze, you know, and you know me very well. I like to analyze both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And, you know, distantly play devil's advocate just to have a conversation. I can't do that here. And that's, I think, what's so hard to wrap my head around. I can't understand it. You know, I spent yesterday, you know, as many people did, you know, trying to get a hold of friends and people that I care about that are down in the area. You know, thank God for technology and social media, you know, where people could click themselves, you know, safe and accounted for on Facebook and, you know, Twitter and Instagram and this and that. But I can't wrap my head or you know, imagine, you know, I think the story broke late last night of the mother, you know, whose son was sending her text messages from the bathroom. And I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that as a friend or a brother or a sister or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a parent. I can't imagine what that would be like. And at the end of the day, I have to sit there and really look to the people that I know and love, you know, and trust and care about and their beliefs and their positivity, no matter what. You know, you obviously, being very high on that list, you sent me something last night. I, you know, I was asleep. I didn't sleep until this morning. And, you know, the first thing was, you know, I would love to do this and show solidarity. And, you know, watching everything transpire from a distance, you know, being that I live down there, it doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't, I mean, certainly I'm not there experiencing it firsthand, but it certainly doesn't make it any easier, you know, worrying about people that I care about.
Right.
And wondering why they've been put in this situation. You know, there's no, you know, I did this all day yesterday. It's like, I feel like I'm just rambling because I don't know how to wrap my head around it. I don't. It's senseless. You know, this isn't a gun control debate. This isn't a, you know, Islamic extremist debate. This isn't, you know, we need to be in fear consistently of X, Y, and Z debate. It's not that. This is, why in the hell do we allow people to become so separated from one another?
Yeah.
To not understand one another so fundamentally that you want to cause them harm. And that's what I can't wrap my head around. And I would be hard pressed to find somebody that can. It's very difficult. You know, I love using the term, you know, empathy and empathic education, and how it needs to become a fundamental piece of how we live our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about fully understanding somebody that's different from you. It's simply accepting it. And, you know, in a time when there is so much difference, so much blind hate, and you know, so many things pushing so many people in different directions, you know, we're approaching election season, and, you know, everything's already boiling over. You know, people have very, very strong opinions, as they do with any other, you know, any other topic, but particularly with, you know, the election coming up here in this country, so many strong opinions on the candidates and the issues, and, you know, with two candidates that are so far divided from one another, fundamentally, you know, we have to look at that and say, why do we keep allowing these situations? Why do we keep allowing the same rhetoric to be talked about? Why aren't we sitting down and reaching out to each other and having these conversations about acceptance and inclusion? You know, I can't imagine ever knowing a parent that's going to teach their child that it's okay to hate somebody. But it happens every single day. To go to school and say that person's different than you, so it's okay not to like them. It's okay to bully them. It's okay to make fun of them. It's okay to hurt them. It's very, very, very disheartening, which is why, you know, I'm so fortunate to know people like you and to have other people in my life that are the exact opposite of that train of thought. You know, I'm actually sitting in my conference room right now at work with a good friend of mine who, I mean, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, personal lives, we couldn't be any more different, which is probably one of the reasons why we get along so well. But, you know, one of the things that connected the two of us is we both have this just insane work ethic. And, you know, and I know you can appreciate that because you're very much the same way.
Yeah.
And you know, and the very, very bare bones of our friendship is we see eye to eye on our work ethic. And, you know, that has led to just some of the funniest conversations that I can possibly have with somebody. We'll get done with work, we'll go have a beer, and it turns into something very, very simple. It turns into this, you know, the most complex out of field conversation, and I have those same conversations with you. And again, you and I, with, you know, just knowing, let's say, 1, 2, 3 things about one another, couldn't be any more different. But we see eye to eye on the things that matter.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for me to look at something like this in Orlando, specifically in a community that is so different, and so many, you know, different people from all walks of life move down to Orlando. It's this, you know, melting pot hub of individuals. You know, and I can speak from that just from being down there in the, you know, 2 or 3 years that I was living down there, and seeing so many different people, and never, ever, ever saw blind hatred. And that's comforting to me, even now.
Yeah.
You know, watching that community come together, knowing that at the end of the day, this is the actions of one individual. Do other people share this mentality? Absolutely. Let's not, you know, we don't live in a fantasy world. My dad and, you know, my boyfriend, who neither one of them live around me at this point, called me last night separately, and Columbus has their Pride Festival coming up this Saturday, said, "Hey, you know, are you going to go down to the parade on Saturday?" And I was like, "You know, I took the weekend off. I was planning on it." And he kind of got quiet. And you know, my dad is a man of few words, and he was like, "Well, you know, we're going to be down in Nashville, and you know, I don't want to have to worry."
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I got quiet on the phone, and I finally, you know, said, "Dad, you know, I don't want you to have to worry about me either. You know, so just tell me you don't want me to go." He's like, "I'm not going to tell you I don't want you to go. You know, you're 30 years old. You can do what you want." Like, "No, just, you know, tell me that you don't want to go." And he goes, "Brian, I don't want you to live in fear." I was like, "This isn't about fear. This has nothing to do with fear. This has to do with respect. And respecting the love that somebody has for me enough to simply say, you know what, it's not a big deal. I can find something else to do. Do we have to live in a society like that where you have to entertain that phone call or you have to sit there and think twice about doing something because there might be a risk? I sure as hell hope not."
Yeah.
You know, I really do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Columbus, I believe it came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago. It's, you know, one of the largest pride festivals in the country now, you know, top five or top seven, and I could be wrong on that, but, I mean, it's huge, and it always has been consistently, and I've always, you know, the last couple of years I've been down in Orlando, and, you know, to come back to that, to have all of my friends and family, and, you know, knowing that they're, you know, everyone that, you know, like I said, regardless of religion, race, you know, sexual orientation, I know people from all walks of life that go down to this here in Columbus and to show support.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting, somber experience, and, you know, for everyone. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I told my dad, "I would rather have you go and enjoy your weekend in Nashville, knowing that I'm safe and home or, you know, whatever I'm doing, and not have to constantly stare at your phone wondering if you're going to get a phone call or a text message or, you know, that fear." I think we have a... You know, no parent wants to live in fear of their child. And I'm looking at all these stories coming out from you know, and it happened in San Bernardino, and it happened in, you know, Newton. And it's... no parent should have to live in that fear. Am I terrified that something could happen? No, I'm not. I have faith in people. I have faith in humanity. I have faith in that this is a singular, horrible tragedy. And we can sit here and say, "Well, you know, he's saying it's ISIS. He's saying it's extremism. He's saying, no, it's hate. It's blind hate. I don't care how you look at it. It's blind hatred. And nobody should have to consistently live in fear that might happen somewhere else." We, you know, we played that game. We played that game after 9/11 to push, you know, without getting political, but it was to push political agendas. You know, if we don't elect these people, or if we don't put these policies in place, the terrorists are going to get us.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, I graduated in 2004 from high school. That was the last 2 years of high school, and my entire college life was this fear that something else could happen. I think this tragedy in Orlando and watching how people are coming together because of it in solidarity is the moment. I really do. I really, you know, I really hope and I really pray that this is the moment when we say we're not going to live in fear. You know, things happen. Things happen every single day. Some good, some bad, some horrific, some very, very, very tragic. They happen every single day. But living in fear does not prevent those. because it costs them any more so than they already are.
Right.
So why do we do it? You know, and to sit here and say, now is that moment when we put fear aside and really start to fundamentally understand one another on the simple basis of acceptance. And again, gay, straight, race, gender, religion, it doesn't matter. There needs to be a fundamental change in how we view one another through acceptance.
And there's no, in my opinion, you know, there is no better way of saying that. There, you know, we have to learn. We have to accept that people are different and that is okay. And, you know, and the hate, and I said it yesterday and I read it earlier on here on today's show, that we have a choice of whether or not we hit send when we have messages out there in social media. And I have asked everybody, don't hit send. And I'm probably, you knowing me and us talking about it, and you mentioning it, Brian, that, you know, we're always working and have ideas of stuff. I'm probably going to start a campaign called Don't Hit Send. And, you know, and that, do I like receiving hateful messages? Of course not. Has it ever stopped me from being the person that I am? Of course not. So do I get more hateful messages? Of course I do. But at the end of the day, that's on you. That's on your conscience. That's blood on your soul that I'm not going to put on mine. And, you know, it sucks. You look up at God and you say, God, I'm a good person doing good things, working my butt off, and I got people trying to ruin me. And God looks back at me and says, well, I'm not trying to ruin you. And you say, well, God, but other people are trying to ruin me. And God goes, again, I'm not trying to ruin you. And he keeps telling you that over and over and over again until you realize that God's a whole lot more important than people trying to ruin you. And that could be a million people. It could be one person. But it really does come down to the focus of the people that, and like I said earlier on in the show, my wife tells me every day, and we came to terms with this, there's not a happy person I've met in my life that has ever tried to ruin the life of another person. It comes through unhappiness, jealousy, anger, ignorance, whatever, that causes people to try and ruin, end, or affect in a negative way the life of another person. And a happy person wouldn't do that. So, you know, I think it comes down to understanding there's not happy people in this world, not giving up on them, praying for them, and hoping that a world of acceptance, a world of understanding what the real evil is, and that is not race, that is not sexual orientation, that is not gender, that is not ethnicity or nationality, but that the evil in this world are acts that are done by individuals to hurt one another. And, you know, once we come together as a community that does not see race, color, sex, sexual orientation, and we just see each other for, you know, Bill, Bob, Stacy, Sam, Trisha, on and on and on and on, that we become a world that will not stand for it and will not put up with it. And I'm hoping, just like you are, Brian, that this is the moment that we finally say, we're not going to stand for this anymore, we're not going to live in fear. This is not the life that we are choosing for ourselves. And this is not the life we are choosing for our children. And this is not the life that we are accepting for our children. We are accepting each other, but we are not accepting the hate and the evil that is trying to run rampant on this earth. And it will always try, but it's up to us and whether or not it will succeed. And I think that when you live in fear, people forget that. They forget that, oh, well, if there's hate and evil in the world, well, obviously it's going to succeed. No, we make the decision whether or not it succeeds. And I cannot thank you enough for working with me to see that it doesn't succeed. And, you know, for everything that we've talked about, I know that you and I will be talking later today, because now that I'm back from my vacation, Brian's put me to work in this partnership. But But no, as always, you know, all jokes aside, I appreciate you for the person that you are, the person that you've always been. And it's pretty cool to say that one of my closest friends is someone I literally spent 15 minutes with on one day, but in the past year have talked to more than people that live down the street. So, you know, I thank you for your friendship, and I thank you for your mission, and I thank you that when I go out and into this world, that I am never in this quest alone. And it's because of people like you that I can say that.
I really appreciate that, Dan. You know, the feeling is absolutely mutual. You know, I you and I have frequently talked about, one, a million different things in you know, a 45-minute conversation usually.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that has always stuck out from every conversation that we've had is, what are we doing to be different? What are we doing to make some sort of change? You know, the business partnership that we've discussed and the ideas that we've thrown around, there's that word, we. You know, it's not you, it's not I, it's not, you know, Sam or Jenny or, you know, Paul. It's we. It's, you know, to think of that on a large-scale level, you know, as an entire populace and say, what are we doing? You know, we look at this tragedy and what are we doing as a society? It's very uplifting, you know, to have people like you, you know, consistently be there to have a conversation with, even if it's brief, you know. I mean, every single time, you know, I talk to Dan, it's, you know, I come back from that conversation feeling, you know, I could be on 2 hours of sleep, and I come back from every single conversation that I have with you energized and ready to do something. So, you know, I really, really, you know, enjoy the conversations that we have, and, you know, look forward to what's to come. And, you know, in light of everything going on, you know, I really hope that, you know, the show of solidarity continues, and that people really decide that this is the moment when we all come together. So I really appreciate you having me, man.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you being here with me, Brian, and even when you're not here, you're here. So I will talk with you very soon. I'm sure we'll talk later on today, and in the meantime, thank you for everything that you do, and we've had a conversation that energizes both, so now let's go out and do something.
Appreciate that, Dan.
All right, man, take care.
Absolutely, you too. Bye-bye.
See you. So that is my friend Brian, once again, and a business partner. And we will close out today's show with my aunt and my other aunt, my Aunt Donna. So my Aunt Ev was on earlier, and my Aunt Donna will be on now. And we will close out the show with Aunt Donna in just a moment here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. In this show, I stand with Orlando, a show in solidarity and faith coming together as one. We'll be right back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora.
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny, USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000-square-foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Serving the Central New York community for over six decades, the Penn and Trophy Center, located on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, is your home for custom engraving of plaques, awards, trophies, clocks, watches, as well as personalized gifts, sports awards, and so much more. When it comes to finding the right gift for anyone in your family, on your team, or in your business, the Penn and Trophy Center is the place to go. 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. Call now to set up an appointment, 315-422-8797. That's 315-422-8797. Or stop in at 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. And to see more from Penn and Trophy Center, go to pennandtrophy.com. That's pennandtrophy.com.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 3 16-inch TVs, just a really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the buffalo chicken wraps.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com as well as on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. That's mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. I have had many wonderful guests sharing with me their stories, their thoughts, their prayers, and their hopes for Orlando as well as for humanity as a whole in a time of solidarity and faith as opposed to a time of hate. And I am very happy to have had Ben on the show, as well as my cousin Joey, my Aunt Ev, and Brian. Ben and Brian, good friends of mine. And now to close out the show with someone who has always taught me to be accepting and appreciative of all people, to not judge, and to give everyone a fair chance to be a part of your life. And that is my Aunt Donna, who is here with me on the show. And she came out years ago and doesn't associate with herself as being straight or gay, and is someone who truly appreciates all cultures and has taught me a lot as I've grown up. And I feel very valued to have had her in my life to instill in me the things that were already in there, and you know, to always have a level of appreciation for everyone. So without further ado, I'll welcome her onto the show. Aunt Donna, how are you doing today?
Good, good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. And
good. I really appreciate being able to do this. All these stories are sort of coming through my head. But if you just want to ask questions or however you want to do it. But
okay.
I just want to say one thing. I just remembered when you were little, I mean, you always knew me in a relationship with a woman, and that woman was always your aunt. And I don't think you ever thought twice about it, you know? So yeah. I just think kids sometimes are the best judges. I think as we get older, sometimes we get harder. And, you know, you don't see that in children. So I just want to say way back then, it was never an issue for you who I was with. And probably wasn't an issue as you got older either.
No, and it's never been because, you know, to me, I had two aunts on my mom's side, and I thought it was really cool. And,
yeah.
You know, and two aunts that have raised two beautiful, wonderful children that have become my little brothers. And, you know, I think that even more so, you know, means the world to me, that love bred love, and love doesn't know race, and love doesn't know sex, and love doesn't know, you know, nationality or ethnicity, and it doesn't know orientation. And you've embodied that, and, you know, you've shown that throughout time. And that's kind of where I wanted to start, is, you know, your story of the person that you are, and being comfortable in yourself and surrounding yourself with positivity, just what you can say to your own story.
You know, it's funny. I mean, when I first, oh God, I was in my 20s, got involved with a woman, it was as natural as anything. And I was, it was, funny thing was, and maybe it's because it was the 70s, I don't know, but I never felt any judgment. And that kind of continued on with family, in any other kind of relationship I was in. I was never afraid, and I never felt judged. And, you know, part of that was I surrounded myself with people that were good energy and positive people, and I kind of didn't expect them to judge me, and they didn't. I think what happened as I got older, the things that started to scare me, it was like after 9/11, I couldn't go on a plane. I couldn't go to New York City. Then I got afraid after the movie theater stuff, and I didn't want to go to movies. And it's like things that were so natural to be able to do, gay or straight, they weren't okay anymore. And I think that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like things have that never frightened me before have frightened me. And it makes me sick to death to think that this happened in Orlando. It was like a heinous crime for no reason. And this guy had his own history. I mean, if you look back, he was involved in domestic violence. And one would have thought maybe there should have been some more inquiry into his past. Who knows? But anyway, I sort of veered a little bit. But anyway, that's kind of where I am now. I'm just feeling sick to my stomach, and I'm afraid. And I'm afraid for kids more than I'm afraid for kids, young kids that are just becoming whoever they are.
And when you look at those children and can speak to those children around the world, and not just children but adults who have hidden themselves out of fear or whatnot, to, you know, what can you say to people that, you know, whatever it is, you know, gay, straight, transgender, bisexual, you know, black, white, whatever, you know, whatever religion you are, that, you know, to people that are hiding or feel the need to hide, or even people that aren't following their dreams because they've had bullying or people try to push them down, what can you say to people that are afraid because of Orlando, are afraid because of the movie theaters, are afraid because of things that have happened in America and around the world? What can you say to those in fear right now, whatever their fear is, what can you say to them as a sign of hope and a sign of solidarity?
Well, I think what I would say is that there's always somebody there that you can talk to, if it's a teacher in school, if it's a guidance counselor. You know, people are intuitive, and they can pick up on a kid being afraid, let's hope. I mean, I think of, you know, kids I've worked with who have struggled with their sexual identity. And, you know, they came to me, and it wasn't so much a struggle because I didn't judge them. So I think I think the biggest piece is to know that there's people out there and hope that you can talk to them and hope that it's your family. Because oftentimes, you know, people are needing to even educate their adult, their families, their fathers, their mothers. But I think, you know, just knowing you're not alone. And, I mean, there's certainly clubs and stuff now, but I think also knowing that there's some adults out there that aren't gonna pass judgment. And that's the most important thing. And to not be judgmental of yourself either. I mean, you don't choose oftentimes. So I think finding the support out there and you know, just knowing that you're not alone in any of this. I mean, whether it's color, whether it's religion, whether it's orientation, There's people out there. And hopefully there's good adults that can guide you, you know?
And going off of that, speaking here with my Aunt Donna, in a tribute not only to Orlando but to everyone, a tribute in solidarity and faith here on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Aunt Donna, when you look at this world and you look at moving forward in this sense, how do we become less of a country of fear and less of a country that looks more like, you know, Israel and Palestine, of people just randomly blowing themselves up or going shooting up a place or doing whatever they want? How do we get back to being a country of, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, as opposed to land of the terrified, home of the scared? I mean, how do we go back to being that strong place and that place of safety? And, you know, I grew up knowing that the United States of America was looked upon or should be looked upon by the world as a safe haven, as a place where you could have a bed and a roof over your head and something to eat and something to drink, and you could be anything you wanted to be. But it was a place where you could come wherever you were in the world and whatever you've known, that the moment that you got to America, you were home and you were safe. How do we become the safe haven that I felt like we should be, and I feel like we should be, and I felt like we used to be?
You know, I think a lot of it is education. A lot of it is, I think for some people, it's church, it's community, it's making sure you're not alone. Because I think that is the scariest thing, when you feel like you're alone. So it's finding people that are like-minded. I was growing up, and things were so much easier. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. It was very easy. There was not a lot of judgment. So it kind of shakes your world a little bit when you see this going on. I mean, 20, 30 years later. But I just think it's just important to believe in something, someone, and make connections with people. Because that's what it's about. It's about relationships. And if you're alone with no relationships, you're alone. But I think if you have one other person, I mean, I don't know about the shooters. I don't know about a whole lot about them, but I can't imagine they connected. And if they did, it was real superficially. So I guess it's no judgment and connection, relationships. That's sort of the main thing. And belief that it can be better.
Well, I want to thank you, Aunt Donna, for being a part of the show, and I want to thank you personally for helping me to always believe. You know, I've come to you, and I said in the show earlier, I'm very tan because of my Italian and Hispanic heritage, but, you know, I said, you know, to be a male in this world and to be a male in America who's not African-American and whatnot, people say, well, you got it easy and you got the life. And, you know, what I've witnessed in my life is that everybody receives hate. I've had hate thrown at me, and, you know, it's hate doesn't discriminate, and love doesn't discriminate. And I've tried very hard in my life, and I try daily today and always with this Orlando thing, and even without the Orlando incident, that, you know, you have to choose on which one you're going to focus on, love or hate. And I want to thank you that no matter what anybody said about me or tried to do to me or thought about me or pushed at me to, or, you know, physically or verbally or spiritually or mentally or whatever negativity has come my way, that you always say never do it alone. And I want to thank you that you've never let me go at the world alone. And I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. You know, can I say one other thing? I was thinking back, way, way, way back, your grandmother, my mother, was always a very open to other people kind of person. And I think that was a big part of it, too. She may not have understood it. She may not have gotten it. But she never closed her doors, and neither did your grandfather. So that's what I grew up with, too. And I think that's what I tried to engender in my kids, that I'll accept anyone in. you know? So that's, I don't know, I think a lot of it comes from the elders, and I think we have to remember that. I mean, they teach us, and then hopefully we can go on to teach, you know, others.
Well,
connection is it.
And we've come from very good ones, and we continue to move forward that, and I want to thank you once again, Aunt Donna, for being not only a part of my family, but for truly being one of my closest friends, and I think that's really cool to have, so thank you for that.
Thank you. All right, well, good luck, Dan.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
I really appreciate it, and I'm very proud of you for doing this.
Well, thank you. I'm proud that you wanted to be a part of it, and I'm thankful that we have a family that has been very accepting and appreciative. I'm thankful to be surrounded by, you know, whether they're blood family or not blood family, I'm thankful for the family that you and I have surrounded ourselves with that have been very open and accepting and appreciative. So, you know, I'm thankful, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, goodbye.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
So that coming from my Aunt Donna once again, I want to put a special thanks out to my friend Ben, as well as my cousin Joey, my Aunt Ev, my friend and business partner Brian, and my Aunt Donna for being a part of today's show. And to everybody that has spread love, cheer, joy, happiness, laughter, comedy, and acceptance and connection and peace, peacefulness in my life and in lives around them. Do not give in to the hate in Orlando or anywhere. Do not give in to the negativity. In the face of hate, the only thing I know how to do is spread love. And we will continue to do that always and forever. And with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, I stand with Orlando, a tribute in solidarity and faith. I stand with all of you. Take care.